Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Some of these days, I lay down.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast, another remote edition. I'm John Schaefer, and my guest today is Jake Blunt. He's a singer, fiddler, banjo player, and scholar of old-time American music. He's especially interested in the deep roots of the African-American music of the Southeast, where his own family is from. And given that this is Pride Month, it's probably worth mentioning he's a board member of the group Bluegrass Pride as well. Jake has just released his first full-length album called Spider Tales, a reference to Anansi, the West African trickster figure who takes the shape of a spider. The album is full of unusual and maybe even obscure old tunes, as well as new takes on songs you might have thought you knew well. Jake joins us, remotely of course, to play a few of them, beginning with this version of Where Did You Sleep Last Night?
Thank you.
Nicely done. That is Jake Blunt and a live performance of the song known as In the Pines or Where Did You Sleep Last Night? It has many names, actually. Among them, Black Girl.
Yes.
So the idea of this song as, you know, the province of black musicians is not unusual. You've changed the gender. What else have you done with this song? I mean, the tenor of the story seems to have changed a little bit here.
It's interesting. Every time I talk to someone about this song, I realize everyone sort of hears it differently because it's so vague. And to a lot of people, this reads as kind of a heartbreak, you know, she's leaving me sort of narrative. And for me, I never heard it that way because I'm thinking, what on earth did he do that she's going and sleeping in the woods?
Right.
She's that mad. So in my head, this song always related very clearly to stories that my dad would tell me about growing up in southeastern Virginia and that my grandparents sometimes told about folks in their community who would sort of disappear and how they would talk about the violence that was inflicted on those black communities, that it was not always something that took place in broad daylight, although it often was, that sometimes people would just go missing and you would assume what had happened. And I feel a very personal connection to those narratives because I grew up as a queer person of color, being an activist in those spaces. And because when you're in that circle and you make yourself available to the community and you become a part of it, you start to realize how much of a battle of attrition our struggle for rights has been. I think the grief process is interpolated into the narrative somehow as this person who's gradually vanishing from you rather than disappearing overnight, that it's a continuous loss and something you continue to grapple with.
Well, you know, two things about that. One is I've always thought of this as a dark song. You know, there's something seriously wrong with this picture. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that roots music in its roots, I mean, the roots of American roots music is the voice of the marginalized, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say that. And I think that there's a few different narratives that take place within the canon of traditional music in that historically, all of the foundational work has come out of black communities, queer communities, has come from women and been transmitted by women in those communities and in others. And those people have been written out of it all too often, partially because of the capitalist influence that comes in when the formal music industry takes shape.
Well, now, Jake, the idea of reclaiming the black roots of American roots music, you know, the Carolina Chocolate Drops won a Grammy for that work some years ago. And I know you've worked with Rhiannon Giddens and a couple of members of the Chocolate Drops over
yes,
the years.
Yes, absolutely.
What is the role of the queer community? Do we know anything about that thread that you've tried to unspool as well?
Well, we know some of it. And I feel very fortunate to be coming at this from the angle of someone who musically came up in the old time community, which for any listeners who might not be familiar is sort of the antecedent music to bluegrass. So it developed out of the songs and the tunes that we play, and we share a lot of repertoire. But the old time music has historically been considered more accepting and liberal overall. So ever since I've been involved, there have been a lot of queer folks around. I've felt very connected to the community there and sometimes more connected to the queer community amongst old time musicians than I do in general. And there's certainly a lineage going back and there's a legacy of acceptance and tolerance of Ola Belle Reid going to play at festivals that were specifically kind of like lesbian feminist festivals and her just being like, you know, Kathy Fink, one of my dear mentors, tells me stories about Ola Belle just being like, well, they need music too, don't they? And do we know who was queer? We don't. Just because of the time period, a lot of those folks wouldn't have been open and we might not have known about it. Today, I will say there are more and more of us and we are becoming vocal through different organizations like Bluegrass Pride. I think because the black old time scene and the queer old time scene overlap so much. The two have really gotten to rise together in a way that I find is really compelling.
What about the Native American, the indigenous American influence? I mean, we think of Appalachian music as the confluence of black and Scots, Irish, English, you know, folk music. What about the people who were here when all those other folks were still on their way?
Well, that is a great question. Really, no one knows is unfortunately the answer. There's a lot of speculation about how Native American melodies or song structures might have influenced the order of the parts of our tunes as compared to, say, in Ireland, whether the low part or the high part usually comes first, that sort of thing. Some discussion of rhythm influence, all of that. I'm not sure that that can ever be anything more than guesswork, unfortunately.
Right.
But I will say I play a number of tunes that come from Native American fiddlers, one of which I'm going to do for you next.
Right.
And
well, that's sort of where I was leading.
Indeed. So there's a long history there, and it's still a very vibrant tradition out west. The Métis people are known for having a really, really strong, vibrant fiddle tradition. In Oklahoma, there are a lot of Native American folks who play in Alaska, throughout Canada. So it's by no means something that used to happen, but within the Southeast, it's a little bit lesser known. And especially when the Removal Act came into the picture, a lot of people we know through manifests that they were able to give to the government to claim property they'd lost when they'd left their homes. They'd left fiddles behind, things like that. So there is documented evidence that there was a strong tradition. And there are families like the Sneed family from Cherokee, North Carolina, that were carrying on this music into the 1900s in the Southeast.
Wow. All right. So tell us about this song you're going to do next. This is not from the current record, Spider Tales, but from the earlier, the one before that. It's
yes.
called We're Gonna Hunt the Buffalo. So where is this from?
So Tatiana and I, Tatiana's my frequent duo partner who has been on all these recordings with me. We learned it from this recording of a guy named Jimmy Driftwood, who was sort of a folklorist and embodied folklore himself kind of character. He lived very close to the Oklahoma border, and he talked about going and learning this tune in a very strange tuning from two Indian boys, which, you know, sometimes the source recordings don't age that well. He didn't say much about who they were, other than that they were part of something called the Green Corn Dance. And that tells us that it's probably a Southeastern person. I suspect that he learned it from some Cherokee musicians who were recently removed to that place. I ran into one of his family members at one of my shows, and she told me that that was a very accurate guess. So, I'm crossing my fingers.
It's a totally plausible story.
Yes.
Jake Blunt is my guest from his home in Providence, Rhode Island. The new album is called Spider Tales. I want to ask you about that after we hear this song, but you want to do the tune for us?
Yeah.
All right. This is called We're Gonna Hunt the Buffalo. Once again, Jake Blunt live.
Thank you.
once again, Jake Blunt, and possibly Cherokee fiddle tune from the late 19th, early 20th centuries called We're Gonna Hunt the Buffalo. Not from the latest record, Spider Tales. What was the name of the record before this one?
Reparations.
Reparations, right. How did you, you mentioned growing up with the old-time community. Were your parents old-time musicians? How did you get into this initially?
I musically came up with the old-time community. My parents were very confused that I started playing the banjo and the fiddle. I come from a what I call casually musical household, and that everyone loves music and everyone has participated to some extent during their life, but I'm the only one who's really made a task of it. And when the grand jury made the choice not to indict George Zimmerman for the killing of Trayvon Martin, I had this moment of being a 90s kid who grew up thinking, like, my parents did this already. I'm not supposed to have to deal with these problems. Yeah. And I went up to the attic in my grandparents' house where I was at the time and started reading this old book that I'd gotten of slave spirituals. And I don't think I really found what I was looking for there. I've never been a super religious person. I'm a queer person. I have a complex relationship with the church and probably always will. But in that moment, I was looking for some record of how my ancestors had dealt with it. And the only record they left behind was their music, because a lot of them couldn't write, couldn't read. And those who could couldn't really write down what they were thinking without fear of persecution. So the music contains all these coded messages, and I didn't find the perspective that I needed in those spirituals. And I did a little bit more digging and came to find out that the secular music amongst enslaved African Americans had revolved around the banjo and the fiddle, and that the banjo had first made its home in this country, although it was not first spotted, in the Chesapeake Bay region, the people who were enslaved around there, who are my ancestors, right? My family's been in Smithfield, Virginia for as long as history goes back for us.
Wow.
So there's a strong familial connection to that region and to the traditions there. And once I found out this was something maybe my ancestors would have been doing, I felt the need to try it. So I got really deep into the jam scene, started playing with a lot of different people, and eventually picked up the fiddle and stumbled into this somehow.
Well, you mentioned sort of the code, the coded messages in a lot of the old songs. Spider Tales is a tale of coded cultural history passed on sort of under the noses of the slavers as opposed to the slaves themselves.
Well, I chose it as a reference to the Anansi stories, Anansi being a trickster folklore figure of the Akan people who live in Ghana and the Ivory Coast. Essentially, the spider tales have crossed over in the Middle Passage and made it all the way to the Caribbean, to the New World, and took root there. And these stories that celebrated kind of a weak, physically, underdog using cleverness and wit to unseat his oppressors and overpower them and trick them out of the things that they had really resonated with a lot of people. And I think I felt a connection between those stories and these songs, not only because most of the songs on the record also pass down through the same hands, through the same lips, for the same exact reasons, right? These are ways of passing on that wit and that wisdom so that we can unseat our oppressors. But also, I think because the roles that they played were so similar, right? There's a lot of similarity in the paths of those two traditions, and I really wanted to tie a lot of different threads of African American folklore and culture from the Southeast together with this record, which is why I chose to put blues and spirituals and string band music and Gullah Geechee ring shout music all onto the same record. I really wanted to make a more complete picture of what this music was and what it was used for than I feel like I've often seen.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that you do, you include the song Boll Weevil, and there is a long, I mean, the tradition of playing Boll Weevil is every performer adds their own take on it, you know? And so there seem to be some updated lyrics in your version of Boll Weevil, but it strikes me, hearing it in the context of this record, that the Boll Weevil is an Anansi figure. He's a trickster, you know, and whatever the farmer tries to do to get rid of him, he's still there. And he's still kind of getting his job done.
You definitely just like outthought me about my own record. That had never occurred to me before. I did have a lot of people go, oh, look, there's a spider in this song. That must be where the name comes from. Yeah, I had one person name a batch of homebrew kombucha in honor of my album for,
okay.
for Boll Weevil. Yonder comes a spider. That's like the highest hippie honor, right? Who needs a Grammy? I got kombucha.
All right, so Jake, you wanna play Roustabout for us?
I would love to.
All right, we're speaking with Jake Blunt. He's performing for us from his apartment in Providence, Rhode Island, and we were talking about his most recent album called Spider Tales. This track is on it. It's called Roustabout. Jake Blunt, live with Roustabout, which you'll find on his most recent album called Spider Tales. And for that piece, he switched from the fiddle to the banjo. Spider Tales, the album produced by two old friends who I have not heard from in years, Jeff Klaus and Judy Hyman, as The Horse Flies, played in our New Sounds Live concert series back in the 90s. And I...
Awesome.
Just, I'm so glad to hear that they're still active and...
But yeah, they're my strongest musical influences, absolutely. When I was learning to play the fiddle and also banjo, though neither of them plays the banjo, I learned at college in upstate New York. And they and their Ithaca scene are kind of the... crown jewel of the upstate New York old time scene. So I was very much in that shadow. And for probably 4 years, I just tried to be Judy Hyman while I was playing the fiddle. And I still routinely engage in that exercise. It's so much fun. I love their style. And when I realized I probably needed a more knowledgeable set of hands to help me put this together to arrange the parts, because I hadn't recorded with a full band, I went, who do I trust, who knows what I'm trying to do, who knows music and knows musical tech better than I do? And they were just the best choice.
Yeah.
I called them up. I'm so glad they agreed to do it.
Are you familiar with a group, they're long gone, called the McIntosh County Shouters?
I am indeed. That's where Move Daniel came from.
I was wondering if that's where that came from.
And their descendants have reformed the group. They put out an album on Smithsonian Folkways 3 years ago, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. I discovered them many, many years ago when some of them when some of the original Shouters were still alive. But so we're actually going to hear a little bit of Move Daniel to wrap things up. Just one of the great tracks on this album called Spider Tales. Jake Blunt with us from his home in Providence. And Jake, job well done.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Move Daniel, 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 move Daniel.
Jake Blunt's album is called Spider Tales. This piece called Move Daniel is on it. And my thanks to our technical director, Irene Trudell, to our producer, Karen Havlick, and to you for joining us for this episode, this remote episode of the Soundcheck podcast. I'm John Schaefer. Remember to watch videos of this session and many others at newsounds.org.
Shout Daniel, shout Daniel, shout Daniel, shout Daniel, shout Daniel, shout Daniel.